We're just 2 days away from the NFL draft, y'all. Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. Stephen A. Smith, welcome into First Take. Good morning, y'all. How are we doing?
Good morning.
Damn.
Right?
Go ahead, Stephen A.
Right. Heck of a tease, getting us going. We'll get to your Knicks in a minute. But first, as I just said, draft's 2 days away. And fellas, I don't know if you heard this. This might hurt your spirit, Stephen A., but Kyle Shanahan says Jimmy Garoppolo, there's no guarantee he will be on their roster on Sunday. Kyle, Dime.
We could have sat there at 12 and waited to see which one came to us. And I think whichever one did, if one did, I think that could have been looked really good. But we made a decision this process that we felt we needed to get a starting quarterback this year and add that to our team. We wanted to dictate it.
Can you say with certainty that Jimmy Garoppolo will be on the roster on Sunday?
I can't guarantee that anybody in the world will be alive Sunday. So I can't guarantee who will be on our roster on Sunday.
Well, I hope to be alive Sunday. What a time to be alive. For a little context here, Max, let's not forget San Francisco traded up to the 3 spot. So clearly they had a plan or you wouldn't do that. Which quarterback gives the Niners the best chance to win?
This year is Jimmy Garoppolo. Right now, Jimmy Garoppolo. I like their plan. If the plan is to draft his successor, and now you have a guy in case he gets hurt because he's a lot of times unavailable, you have a guy to step in and start developing right away. And if he doesn't, you know, he might mess around and win the Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's keep in mind, Stephen A., they were 3-3 this year with him, and they were much, much worse without him, right? So as a result, they're now 24. He is now, in his career as a starter, including the playoffs, 24-8. He wins 3 times as much as he loses. Health.
Bless you.
Thank you.
Before this year, it was 21-5. It was like more than 4 times as much as he loses, and he was playing for a better team then. Jimmy Garoppolo, if he's so easy to replace, why are his replacements almost unable to win ever? They lose almost every game they play throughout his career when he doesn't play. And they win almost every game they play with him throughout his career. He's not just like replacement level and here's Jimmy G. He's doing something right. And he came one throw away from winning the Super Bowl. One throw away, Stephen A., from winning the Super Bowl. He could make that throw next time. It's a 50-50 thing. And they win the Super Bowl. This upcoming season, Jimmy G gives them clearly the best chance to win.
You'd have a point, Max Kellerman, if we could rely on him to be on the field, but we can't trust him because he's not the most durable individual in the world. A matter of fact, to call him fragile would be a bit kind, and that's the reality of the situation. I'm not maligning him for that. Injuries are injuries. They happen, and we all understand that. But the bottom line is that's the situation with him. And so when I think about it from that perspective, and I think about a talent like Justin Fields, who just finished completing 70% of his passes and playing in a national championship game, who just finished, you know, playing lights out against Trevor Lawrence in the national semifinal when he threw 6 touchdowns and 385 yards in a victory over the Clemson Tigers in the national semifinal in collegiate football, high-level collegiate football, the highest level of collegiate football, by the way. When the guy's got he's got like 67 touchdowns and just 9 interceptions in his collegiate career, and he's coming into the National Football League, and we know that he's got wheels on him. This is an individual that brings a dynamic to the game of football that I don't think Jimmy Garoppolo has in him. And when you take that into account, along with a guy like Kyle Shanahan, who's supposed to be this quarterback guru. By the way, the decision is going to be his. We heard John Lynch talk about that, and I guess we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the show. It's his decision. It's going to come down to Kyle Shanahan, who I call for at times Mr. Fourth Quarter, because in Super Bowls, he had a 25-point lead and lost that, and he had a 10-point lead and lost that when he was the primary play caller for Atlanta and San Francisco, respectively, in Super Bowls. Against Tom Brady in Tom Brady and then Patrick Mahomes. The bottom line is that there's some question marks about him as well, but he does know the quarterback position. He is the offensive play caller. Who knows if he's going to pick Justin Fields? All accounts are saying that may not happen, but I look at Justin Fields and being a dual threat. I'm looking at the game of football and the way that it has evolved and the fact that you're a dual threat. You can run with the football. You have durability. You can make plays with your legs, not just your arms. Then I take into account the monster that's coming out of the backfield, the Kittles at your tight end spot, the Deebo Samuels is one of your wideouts, and I say, excuse me, you know what? the best availability is availability. And Justin Fields, can I trust him to be more available than Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he hasn't played a single NFL game? At this point, yes, because Jimmy Garoppolo has proven to be a significantly fragile individual at the quarterback spot.
That's why drafting a quarterback's a good idea. Jimmy Garoppolo's excellent, but there's a higher level than Garoppolo. You'd like to get it. And Jimmy Garoppolo hasn't been available a lot. You're acting, though, as though Justin Fields never got hurt. He has in his collegiate career. But there's no such thing, really, as winning a Super Bowl with a rookie. Now, I think when I look at the San Francisco roster, I think, yeah, that's a Super Bowl contender. Can they win it with Jimmy G? Well, again, when last healthy, when the roster was healthy, when Jimmy G was healthy, they were in the Super Bowl. And if he hits Emmanuel Sanders, they win the Super Bowl. One pass away. So I'm going to say yes. Yes, the Niners are live to win the whole thing with Jimmy G this year. Are they live to win the whole thing with Justin Fields this year? Because I agree with you, Stephen A. Justin Fields should be no worse than the third quarterback taken. I would take Justin Fields clearly in this draft if I had the third pick. But what you do is you play him behind Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's take the most impossibly great talent we've ever seen who hit the ground running amazing, Patrick Mahomes. He didn't play his first year. He started one game. Then the second year, I thought he was the best player in football. He won the MVP. Came very close, I thought, to winning the Super Bowl. Pre-snap penalty gave Tom Brady the ball back in overtime. Patrick Mahomes never got to touch it. And then Brady beat a Rams team who I believe Mahomes would have beaten. That's very, very close. But even that wasn't a rookie. Even Patrick Mahomes didn't win the Super Bowl, though he might have. And even he was a second-year player who watched Alex Smith and learned from him. So I would say the Niners have the right idea if their idea is you keep Jimmy G where he is, you make a run at the Super Bowl this year, you draft his successor, have him learning. If Jimmy G goes down, then the development starts early. If he doesn't, then the next guy takes over. I would think it should be Justin Fields, although we're hearing Mac Jones. He takes over next year.
Well, I got to be honest with you. It's not the ideal way to start off the show by saying this, but this conversation bores me. And the reason why it bores me is because of Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, to be exact. It bores me, okay? The bottom line is this. He can't be trusted to be healthy. We all know that he can play. We know that he's no scrub, but he's not one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL. Matter of fact, I've religiously pointed out how you had to go through four levels before you even got to him, and he was the quarterback of the team. This dude threw for a combined 208 yards in two postseason games the year they got to the Super
Bowl. Why can't they win without?
Had a 10-point lead, and then couldn't hold on to it, couldn't stop the bleed. And so I just look at it from that perspective, and I just say to myself, you know what, Kyle Shanahan's going to make this pick. I'm more interested in talking about whether it should be Mac Jones or Justin Fields or Trey Lance as opposed to, you know, Jimmy G staying there. We all know that Jimmy G is not going to be there. Think about what Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch has done. John Lynch is the general manager and has basically stepped back and said, this is going to be Kyle Shanahan's pick. This dude has been the offensive play caller for the team. Okay, he knows what he's doing at the quarterback position. We're going to defer to him. And they moved up and gave up first-round picks to move up to the number 3 overall pick in this year's draft. You don't do that to keep Jimmy G. You do that because you're planning on moving on from Jimmy G. And then he had the press conference and said, hey, tomorrow's not guaranteed. None of us might be here tomorrow. That's your argument?
He might not be alive.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no, that is my argument.
Man.
Because, look, they might get rid of Jimmy G, but it depends if they think they can make a Super Bowl.
What if he's in New England? What if he gets reunited with Bill Belichick?
All of that,
would that make you happy?
You're not
and he could
doing
redeem
all of that.
Himself with the
You're
Patriots?
You're not doing all of that to keep Jimmy G. You're not doing all of that to keep Jimmy G. You're not.
Not long term, but you could. Listen, they did all that to grab Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, right?
If you're Jimmy G, do you want to be there?
And Alex Smith for an extra year.
If you're Jimmy G, do you want to be there right now after all they did to move up to draft your success? Do you want to be there right now if you're Jimmy G?
I don't know. Look at Aaron Rodgers' situation. He's still
Well, he wants out. They won't let him go.
By the way, it's funny you bring up Aaron Rodgers. Jimmy G and Aaron Rodgers, whatever discontent they may have with their teams, are in positions to win Super Bowls this year.
Don't even belong in the same sentence. Don't you ever mention porn star Jimmy in the same breath as Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
They're both on excellent
teams. Let's settle
down.
We're only in the A block. We're already getting threats. We're getting to Rodgers later. These angry New Yorkers, there's so much to deal with.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Speaking of Chris Paul, ending the Knicks' win streak at 9 games with a ridiculous dagger 3. Look at it. Meanwhile, the Suns are only 1 game out of first place in the Western Conference. So what did CP3's coach Monty Williams think of his performance?
It wasn't a lot of chess or checkers. You know, it was just Chris making plays. A couple of those shots at the end, man, you're just like, I'm glad I get to, you know, be on this side of it. Because when he left New Orleans, I was on the other side of it. And now I'm glad to be with him when he's, you know, taking over in stretches like that. I was proud of him, but I'm also glad for sure that he's on our side.
Max, yeah. The Suns are in second place, one game out of fourth in the Wild West. Yep. Is CP3 have any chance to win MVP?
No, not to actually win. He doesn't have a chance to win. He, as usual, when he's healthy, he is among the most valuable players in basketball. He's among the most valuable players. But he's never been the best or the most valuable in any one given year, and this year is no exception. Let's not forget, yes, they have the second best record in the West. When the bubble happened, they had the best record in basketball. They were 8-0. That's before he ever got there. So this was all, I'm not claiming they were better without him or they would be as good without him this year. But the point is, they were already a formidable team before he got there, trending in the right direction. Are we even sure that he's better than Devin Booker or more valuable than Devin Booker this season? And if so, by a lot? I mean, that's a vicious backcourt. They're both great players. And here's the thing, Stephen A. If you ask me to list my MVP candidates, Chris Paul will be somewhere in the top 5 right now. A lot of that has to do with injury to Kevin Durant, to James Harden, to LeBron James, to Anthony Davis. And a lot of that has to do with his own play. But I see no scenario where he could be the MVP over Jokic. I mean, Lillard has looked tired in the last couple weeks compared to a lot of the season because he was forced to carry so much of the load for so much of the season. But Chris Paul's not the MVP over Lillard. So I don't see a way where he can be given MVP this season.
I don't see him winning the MVP, but I'm not going to sit up there and say he has no chance, and it's primarily because of the reasons that you just mentioned. Let's just go down the list, Max Kellerman. Let's understand, before we go down the list, actually, let's understand something. The Phoenix Suns right now are 43-18. They are one game back from the Utah Jazz as having the best record in basketball. Not just the number one seed in the West, the number one seed in all of basketball. And you can talk about the Phoenix Suns trending in the right direction all you want to, and I'm not going to deny that because I think Monty Williams and the staff with my man Willie Green and Randy Ayers and those boys have been doing a phenomenal job, no question about it. I'm seeing the growth of DeAndre Ayton. That shows me what Monty Williams and his staff is made of. I'm seeing Devin Booker growing and flourishing as a player. That shows me something else about Monty Williams and his staff. And, of course, Chris Paul has something to do with that. But what we have to pay attention to is that every place Chris Paul is gone, teams have gotten better. You understand? When he went to New Orleans, they got better. You understand? When he went to Houston, they got better. I mean, this dude, they in Phoenix, they get better. What he touches improves. There's no negative with Chris Paul. There's positive because he's the quintessential floor general. one of the great, great floor generals we've ever seen, being the 6 foot pit bull of a guard that he is. They're top six defensively. They're top 10 offensively. That's usually the case when Chris Paul is on your team because he plays on both ends of the floor, and his defense, I wouldn't even say it's been vastly underrated because he religiously gets recognized for it. But then when you take into account those things that I just pointed out, and then the injuries to Harden, LeBron, AD, Embiid, Kevin Durant, etc. No, the Joker doesn't have that. But the Joker ain't the number one seed in the West either, or tinkering towards being the number one seed in the West either. He hasn't missed any games. He's been reliable. But the point is, it could come down to the wire. Damian Lillard was in the conversation, but Portland fell off, losing five or six straight recently, and that's hurt him to some degree as well. Look at what this man is bringing to the table, how the Phoenix Suns are flourishing, and it could very well come down as it presently stands right now, somewhat by default because of the injuries, but it could come down to the Joker versus CP3 because of the profound impact that everyone, including Devin Booker, acknowledges Chris Paul has had on the Phoenix Suns.
No, he can't win it over Jokic, and he won't win it over Jokic because he hasn't been as good as Jokic because Jokic is better. He's more valuable this year. That's the problem with making the CP3 argument, Stephen A. He will be on the list. I mean, CP3 I could see coming in as high as third because Embiid has missed time. I think Giannis also has to be, and we have him on the MVP favorites board there. But Jokic, Stephen A., his team is 40-21. He didn't have Jamal Murray. Hadn't had him for a minute now. Jamal Murray, second best player on the
last
team.
Last couple of weeks.
In the playoffs.
But
right,
you want me
okay.
Well, you want me to tell you how you're profoundly wrong? You said, no, he won't. Do you have a vote?
That's not the point.
Hold on, let me see. I have a vote.
Okay.
The point is,
you're going to vote
people,
for Chris Paul?
Let me explain. There are people at the end of the season that might make that call. We've seen it many times. How many times have you been on the show and lamented the fact that Steve Nash got the award over Shaq? It wouldn't be the first time that we've looked at NBA. I'm not knocking you for it.
No, I'm saying, I hear what you're saying.
You're talking about what should happen, and you may be right. What I'm saying to you is that it's a very selective process, and it depends on what you're looking for. What if Denver falls off a little bit, Max? And let's say they fall to a fifth or a sixth seed, and they're a 500 team because Jamal Murray has been gone, and then Phoenix ascends to the number one seed in basketball.
Hold on, Stephen A. There's not enough time in the season. Phoenix right now is 43-18. Denver is 40-21. Okay. 40-21. They're three games off the pace, and Jamal Murray's been out for a hot minute.
Basketball the rest of the way. I don't mean 500 as on the season.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I said 500 the rest of the way.
Yeah, even if they're okay, if they're 500 the rest of the way. So what do they have? They have since they have 11 games left. Even if they went 6-5 or 5-6, they're going to wind up 45-26, 46-25.
This is what I'm trying to acknowledge to you. If CP3 does what he did last night. Mm-hmm. The rest of the way. And I'm not saying it's going to happen because obviously you and I both agree about where Jokic is right now. What I'm saying is if CP3 does that the rest of the last 10, 11 games or so, right? And Phoenix captures the number one seed in all of basketball. Meanwhile, Denver tails off. Look at the history of the voting. There are people that may look at that, Max, and go like this. Well, damn.
Here's the thing.
We might have to give him that
vote. Who are you voting for big time? That's what I want to know.
Here's the bottom line about that. You're right. Steve Nash and Shaq is a good example because Steve Nash was a guard. And when a guard has the ball in his hands and he's showing leadership and hooking everybody up, maybe they give an advantage over a big. But Stephen A., here's the thing about Jokic.
Jokic is a point forward, point center.
That's the problem. You know how many assists Chris Paul is averaging
this year? But I didn't bring that up.
8.7 assists. You know how many assists Jokic is averaging?
But I didn't bring up numbers.
Assists? I'm just saying.
I didn't bring up numbers. Your point is valid.
Right.
I'm talking about the end, if they play, if he engages
Stephen
in a role
a,
at the
it.
End of the season and Denver tails off, I'm telling you, there's going to be Stephen people a. that look at Chris Paul and say,
right, last
I'm
word here,
Max. I'm bringing up numbers. Okay. Chris Paul's averaging 8.7 assists. How many assists is Jokic averaging? Just off the top of your head, what do you think?
Off the top of the head, close to 10.
8.7. They're averaging the same number of assists. This dude is a center who's also averaging 11 boards and shooting better from three than Chris Paul.
Without a roll, we'll get back to the basketball talk later.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
There he is, the Heisman Trophy winner out of Alabama, Devontae Smith, joining us on behalf of Old Spice. Devontae, thank you so much for being with us this morning, joining us live from Cleveland. And Devontae, this is the second time you've been on the show, so I feel like we're cool and we can go there. I'm out here in New York. You're in Cleveland for the draft. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I think you would fit in very nicely, Devontae, with the New York football Giants. I'd love to come to a game and love to see you out there with Danny Dimes. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think you would fit in here in New York?
I feel like I fit in anywhere and just need the opportunity.
But New York specifically, how do you think you would be on the Giants? I'm just curious with that, with Saquon and with Danny Dimes. What do you think?
It'll be good.
Devontae, man, always appreciate you being on the show. I'd like you to comment about what people have been saying. Obviously, you're electrifying. You had over 1,800 receiving yards, 117 receptions, 23 touchdowns. We all know how great you have been in your collegiate career, particularly over the last 2 years. But they say stuff like, you're undersized. They know you're elite. You're easily a top 10 pick, probably a top 6 pick. But they also look at a guy like Jamar Chase out of LSU who didn't even play last year. And some people have said they'd probably take him before they take you. Talk to me about what you think you're going to bring to the table on an NFL level and what your thoughts are about how you've been evaluated and critiqued coming into this NFL draft.
Really just think that I can do everything. I mean, I know I can do everything inside, outside. You put me on special teams. I mean, it's nothing that I can't do. So, I mean, just I feel like that gives me the edge over a lot of guys. And, I mean, just really I look at it as I'm a football player. We're in the football business. We're here to play football, not to be bodybuilders, not to be weightlifters or nothing like that. So, I mean, if you're looking for a football player, then you got that in me.
What do you think happened? I want to stay right on that theme, Devontae, because after the championship game, where you broke every record, like the man you're looking at right now, ladies and gentlemen, holds like every receiving record in that championship game. Everyone just presumed you're going to be the first pass catcher taken. Like that was the consensus. Now we are hearing Pitts, and as Stephen A. said, Jamar, and also your teammate Jalen Waddle. What do you think happened between then and now?
I mean, everybody have their own opinions and things like that. People talking about the size, but I mean, like, injury don't shy away from nobody. Injury don't care what size you is. So, I mean, like, so I feel like the size thing, everybody overthinking it. Because, I mean, the injury is not going to run away from nobody. Injury don't care what the size is. But, I mean, it is what it is. I just want the opportunity. So when the opportunity comes, just take full advantage of it.
You know, one of the things that I think about when I think about wide receivers, and I say this, you know, all in fun, Devontae, I think that wide receivers especially lie all the time when they talk about not caring about where they go. Because, damn it, you might not care about which city you go to, but you certainly care about which quarterback's on a respective team. You understand what I'm saying? The quarterback matters because you can't throw it to yourself. So with that being said, I'm not going to ask you what team you want to go to because obviously you want to go anywhere in the National Football League. But when you think about what's a better situation for you, system-wise, can you educate us as a wide receiver? What kind of things do you think about when you think about going to the NFL level in terms of what kind of team you should go to or you would want to go to? What are you looking for?
A team that just put the ball in that playmaker's hand. I mean, whether it's a screen, it's a pass down the field, I mean, just giving them a chance to make plays. And, I mean, that's what it all comes down to, just giving your playmakers a chance to make plays. So just putting the ball in their hands. I mean, no matter where it's at, just finding a way just to get them the ball.
What do you think, what qualities would you say you have as a receiver that teams will be getting? I know you said you're just a football player. But how would you describe the kind of football player you are specifically? What do you do best?
I feel like I always have the edge because I'm always well prepared. What is me knowing what the defense is going to do, knowing who I'm going against and how they play. So, I mean, me just being in the film room, I feel like I'm always a step ahead just because of the mental aspect of playing the game.
Oh, that's an answer. You just went up on my draft board, Devontae. You're already high up there.
Good. We got a smile out of him. Devontae, I got a little present for you here. So Marvel and ESPN have teamed up with taking draftees like you and putting you on the covers of classic Marvel comics. So we know your teammates call you the Slim Reaper. We already discussed. We all know why. But take a look at this, and I want to know what you think of the comparison to Marvel superhero Spider-Man. There it is. Look at you, cover star. I see you.
Spider-Man, I feel like that's the one. I mean, Spider-Man, that's something that I grew up watching all the time, and I would say that probably is my favorite Marvel superhero.
Yeah, that's cool. It's real cool. I'm glad that one worked out then, and you approve it.
I mean, Spider-Man ain't dropping anything. Spider-Man ain't dropping anything. I know that much. So I get right. it. I get the affection. Listen, while we've got you here, we've been talking about the San Francisco 49ers at the number 3 overall pick and how there's so much speculation going around about how Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers are going to select your quarterback, Mac Jones. Coming in, you know, after the season ended, we heard about Trevor Lawrence. We heard about Justin Fields. And then all of a sudden, we heard about all of these other guys. Originally, Mac Jones was projected to be a middle or late first rounder. Now he might go number 3 overall. How do you feel about, you know, all the news about how your quarterback is going to end up number 3 overall? Is he worth it? And if so, why in your mind?
100% he's worth it. I mean, he's a quarterback. He's going to get the job done. I mean, he's first guy in, last guy out, and he understands the game. And I feel like playing a quarterback position, you always have to be mentally prepared. Not so much of being just physical, but most definitely mental, just because you have to plug everybody in and make sure everybody knows what they're doing. I mean, he's the guy for that. He knows what the defense is going to do. It's nothing that you can show him that he hasn't seen. And if somebody else don't know what they're doing, he's going to hold them accountable. He's going to make sure everybody's in the right position. And overall, he's going to operate the offense. He's going to be the driver, and he's going to control that.
Devontae, a lot of times guys look at receivers coming out in the draft, they try to, you know, have comps, guys who've played before at a high level. Your teammate, Jalen Waddle, people think Tyreek Hill because of how explosive and fast he is. I look at you, and it's funny, Spider-Man, because I used to think of Marvin Harrison that way. And that's the kind of, like, thought I have about a comparable receiver. Who have you modeled your game after, or who would you compare yourself to in history, guys that you've watched?
My favorite is Keenan Allen. I mean, just everything that he does, from route running to releases, just his overall understanding of the game. I see myself as that. Just a guy that understands football and know where to be at the right place at the right time.
All right, before we let you out of here, two things that I love. Old Spice deodorant, because it smells amazing. You have to degrade, right? The red Old Spice deodorant, it does. And paying it forward and giving back. So tell me what you're doing with Old Spice and Big Brothers Big Sisters.
Partnering with Old Spice just to help guys build confidence to reach their true potential. And they're partnering with Big Brothers Big Sister, who's trying to put a spotlight on mentorship. And like myself, I have a mentor that helps me just get through everything, just anything that I need. And I mean, everybody should have somebody to help them just go along and get to where they want to be. And you can learn more about it at BigDraft21.com.
Good for you. We all need mentors. You are living your dream this week. Enjoy every moment of it. Yep, Stephen A.
I just wanted to say this before Devontae. Congratulations to him and the great job that he's done this year. I want to say, if you're Mac Jones, I can't think of a greater endorsement. To hear a guy that's a wide receiver for you come on national television and say he knows everything everyone is supposed to be doing, and he holds dudes accountable. When we talk about great, great NFL quarterbacks, that's the ingredient. So the fact that you got a wide receiver voucher for Mac Jones could not have gotten a better endorsement this morning when you hear something like that. That's a very big deal, Devontae said about him.
Absolutely. All right, Devontae, thank you so much for the time. Good luck. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. To Hotlanta we go. Could the Falcons actually be parting ways with their superstar wideout Julio Jones? Atlanta GM Terry Fontenot says that they've been open to what's best for the team. Jones has played his entire career in Atlanta and is the all-time leader in catches and yards. And his 60 touchdowns rank him second behind Roddy White. Meanwhile, Adam Schefter tweeting this in regards to Peter King's report from last night about Atlanta listening on Julio Jones and why it would be a post-June 1 move. If the Falcons trade him after June 1, they save $15 million against the cap. If the Falcons trade him before June 1, it would be a $23 million cap hit. Stephen A., would this be a mistake if the Falcons trade him?
I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, he's a generational talent. Obviously, he missed the last four games of the season, if I remember correctly, and only played nine games overall last year because of a hamstring injury. But he still had 771 receiving yards and 51 receptions in the nine games that he played. The previous 6 years, the dude was an absolute stud with over 1,200 to 1,300 yards per season. You know, I'm looking at some of the numbers that I just went through here. The dude is an absolute stud. We talk about Julio Jones here. And when we look at the Atlanta Falcons, we know what the problem has been. There's been injuries, and it's been primarily on the defensive side of the ball. That's really what their problem has been. Coaching to some degree, which is what caused Quinn his job. We understand all of that, but Julio Jones ain't the problem. Julio Jones is a part of the solution. And when I think about that and the fact that he's 32 years of age and he still has plenty of time left in his career, you make moves to get talent like him on your squad. And if you sit up there and you play, you got a defense and you make things happen, you make smarter decisions like running the football instead of throwing it when you got a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl, this dude would be a champion and be revered even more. I just look at it from that standpoint. I think that I don't think that, you know, his best years are completely beyond him. I still think he's capable of doing what we saw him do before last season if you get him the right teammates around him.
That makes no sense. Listen to what you're saying, Stephen A. He's part of the solution, but the solution is, what are you going to win, 5 or 6 games? Like, this is not a team that's about to win a whole lot or challenge for a Super Bowl. You think the Falcons are going to challenge for the Super Bowl this year?
Yeah, I think it's possible. Their offense is high-powered.
Well,
if you get any kind of defense, you could do something.
In a while, and they have defensive problems. And here's the issue. They also have cap problems. So the restructured Matt Ryan's deal, they're not going to trade him and pay some other team or pay his salary for him to quarterback some other team. So the likely asset that they have to move is Julio Jones. Now, I could keep Julio Jones on my team. Who, you're right about generational talent. Julio Jones is the perfect receiver. He's perfect in the locker room. He's perfect, you know, as a citizen in terms of a face of a franchise or among the faces of a franchise. He's 6'3", 220 pounds, perfect size. He's got downfield speed. He can be your deep threat. He can be a 50-50 ball guy. Like, he's perfect. He's like the best all-around guy, right, when he's healthy. But here's the thing. He's 32 years old. He's playing on a team I don't think is going to challenge anytime soon. So what do you do with him? You want Julio Jones and all his greatness on your team to win 6 games or 8 games or whatever, if you think it's going to be more than 5 or 6 games? Or would you like what you can get for Julio Jones now to start building for the future? Seriously, building for the future. The best argument to not trade Julio Jones right now is maybe his trade stock's a little low because he has been hurt. And the year before, it wasn't statistically one of his best years. Maybe that's the best argument. But I would still say, at the age of 32, given the way he is perceived around the league, you can get a haul for him now.
Well, the argument that you can make is that their cap situation is bad. It's one of the worst in the National Football League. So as a result, you know, trading somebody of his quality obviously comes into play when you've got when you're cap strapped, and we understand that. What I'm saying is that you're keeping Matt Ryan. Last time I checked, I mean, I don't think he's going anywhere for the foreseeable future, at least for the next year. So if I've got a guy like him, the veteran at quarterback, and I got a stud like Calvin Ridley, I'm going to keep a Julio Jones as well, especially when I don't have a running game to speak of, to be quite honest with you, something that's relied and you can etch in there. How the hell are you going to score the ball? You got to make sure you do something. And so I look at that and I look at their defense. Obviously, they got a lot of improving to do. They suffered through a lot of injuries. We get all that, but this is the National Football League, bro. There's been plenty of instances, plenty of occasions where we've seen teams come from nowhere to at least make the postseason and have a chance, Max Kellerman. Yeah. You know, with baseball and other places, that might be different. But in the sport of football, parity truly exists.
Absolutely.
But what happens one year may not necessarily be applicable to next year.
All right, let's move it forward. Max, who should the Falcons trade with?
Baltimore, the Ravens. I look at Lamar Jackson, and let's start seeing. He's a very promising rookie year, obviously, but also as a passer, in fact, which was slept on. But the trajectory, he hasn't, developed every year as a passer. And I'd like to know, and I suspect it's because he doesn't really have enough dynamic weapons on offense, and I get the kind of offense they run, and maybe it's not going to look the same as other offenses, but Stephen A., Hollywood Brown's a pretty good receiver. He could be a downfield threat. But as your number one, no. If you add Julio Jones, you give Lamar Jackson a weapon, whatever the numbers turn out to be, a weapon who can do everything like Julio Jones, that makes all the other receivers better. When you start looking at the depth chart, you start looking at who's wide receiver 2 and 3 and all that kind of stuff, it's like, oh, wait a minute, now that ain't so bad. Now Hollywood Brown could be a problem, and Julio Jones could be a problem. And we'll find out right quick about Lamar Jackson's development. I think Julio Jones on that team makes them real Super Bowl contenders.
Well, you could say that. I would tell you if the New England Patriots get Jimmy Garoppolo back or draft a quarterback like Mac Jones, they move up to get somebody like him. Having a safety net like Julio Jones certainly wouldn't hurt, particularly since Bill Belichick pretty much addressed every other need that they had coming into this offseason. He's just looking for a quarterback and an upgrade at the wide receiver spot, obviously. But number one on my list would be the Buffalo Bills, Max Kellerman. Buffalo Bills did go 13-3 last year. They were in a divisional playoff game. Maybe an AFC championship game, if I remember correctly. You've got that going on. Then you've got to take into account the fact that you got Stephon Diggs, who caught about 127 catches for about 1,535 yards, which led the NFL last year. Then you've got Josh Allen, a young stud who threw for 37 touchdowns and just 10 interceptions. And what was the real problem against the Kansas City Chiefs? They were bereft of weapons. They didn't really have anybody other than a Stephon Diggs to get the football to. And so if you're really talking about competing in the AFC and positioning yourself to compete legitimately for a Super Bowl title coming out of the AFC conference, then I would tell you the Buffalo Bills would be at the top of my list.
I mean, they signed Emmanuel Sanders, and yeah, would he make the Buffalo Bills even better? Yeah, that would be a big-time move by them to add a guy like that if it was possible and have just an impossible receiving core because you're going head-to-head, obviously, in that conference with the Chiefs. That's really the team you're trying to get by. I'm just saying, that's like an embarrassment of riches for Josh Allen. You add Julio Jones to that. Lamar Jackson.
Well, don't you need that to beat Patrick Mahomes?
How'd that work out for Tom Brady when he had an embarrassment of riches?
Don't you need that to beat Patrick Mahomes? And Buffalo already beat Baltimore. So I'm saying you want to take it a step forward. I mean, hey, I think the Buffalo Bills would be a perfect situation for Julio Jones.
I hear you if they could get him. I'm saying, could Lamar get one? Could he get one dude? Yeah. Could he have one guy like that while other quarterbacks have, 2 and 3 sometimes of, incredible receiving targets? Give Lamar one guy.
Give him a little something to work with. Max is impressed with his passing. All right, since being drafted in 2011, Julio Jones, one of three players with 10,000 receiving yards, also DeAndre Hopkins and Antonio Brown, the other two. The big deal with him, though, no diva with Julio Jones. Any team should want him.